Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Later in the program, Robert Knott is going to be with us, as he is every week, speaking of the arts. Right now, I'd like to welcome Joe Illick. He is director of the Santa Fe Concert Association. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte. It's great to be here.
So this is a great time of year for holiday music, and we're not going to be playing a whole lot of music today, but we're going to be talking about the fact that for your holiday season, you actually have chosen non-choral music. So we're not going to be singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer at the Concert Association.
That's true. We're going to be hearing great classical music. Best music of the last 200 years that's suitable for holiday times.
So how do you determine what non-choral music is suited for holiday times? Is it specifically Christmas music of some kind?
It's not at all. It's music that composers wrote when they wanted to show what it was like to move from darkness into light. And Christmas is about that. So we'll start the program with a Beethoven symphony on Christmas Eve at 5 p.m. It's the overture to Leonore. Well, you know, Beethoven wrote four overtures to the same piece because he was so at home with the symphony orchestra. So when he wrote his one opera, it got major overture treatment. And the one we're doing is the one that he wrote for a performance that never even took place. The whole idea was that in 1809, not so different from 2009, people were concerned about what was going to happen to the world, and would they be free, and would they get to have the things in life that they wanted. Beethoven addresses this musically, and the piece starts darkly and heavily, and it travels through all kinds of unknown areas, and then bursts out into the triumph of the human spirit.
Four overtures to the same piece.
Yeah. It's so a little bit of overkill, isn't it?
Overkill. When he was alive, how did he choose, or how did the conductor or whatever choose which one we're going to play tonight?
You know, music was fluid in a way that we don't think. We think classical music is set in stone. But when people wrote pieces, they often expected soloists to improvise. Improvisation in classical music is not such a live art today. That's more what happens in jazz. In those days, every time there was a new performance, a composer might throw in different arias or different ensembles for the soloists, because it was a different city and different singers. And it was very common that they might write a new overture for the occasion. Certainly Beethoven, who felt, like I say, more at home with the symphony orchestra than with singers, would write a new overture. So for four different productions of this opera, Fidelio, there were four different overtures. And as I say, this production in 1809 never even took place, but we got this great piece out of it.
Amazing. And so that's one of the pieces. And then Sibelius, that's a whole different sound. You've got a violin concerto.
Yes. Sibelius is from Finland, where it's dark most of the time.
And except in the summer, where it's light most of the time.
That's right. So they're very concerned about light and dark and cold. So this piece, violin concerto, begins with an almost glassy Arctic feeling that, the light will never come. And then gradually through the movement, it begins to glimmer. In the slow movement, there's a beautiful tune, but it's extremely slow. And finally, this tune of great beauty and passion gives way to a boisterous finale, which is the only indication that Sibelius got to romp around on sunny days from time to time.
Explain to our listeners what a concerto is. When you hear piano concerto or violin concerto, what does that mean?
It's a form where the soloist is working sometimes together and sometimes against the orchestra, so that it's pitting a group of people against a single individual. Won't surprise you to know that this came out of the time period when individuals finally began to feel like perhaps they were separate entities and not just part of a society that was all driven by the church. As people began to see themselves as separate forces that could make their own choices, the concerto form came out of that.
That's fascinating. I had no idea. So the whole idea of the rights of man, the rights of the individual.
Was expressed musically in the concerto.
And so you have this big group, which is the orchestra, and then you have this violin doing its thing.
Right, and the thing is related but different. So the group plays and plays. And in the old days, in the 1600s, the harpsichord part would reflect the orchestra and just support it. But now suddenly the harpsichord takes off on its own, or the piano, or the violin, or whatever. And it says, this is what I have to say about what you had to say.
Right.
So it can't be entirely separate. It can't play in a different key, in a different time signature, but it has its own voice and its own lyrical, rhapsodic way of expressing itself about whatever the musical thematic material is.
It would be interesting to think about all the different ways in which musical forms are metaphors for the societies whence they spring.
Absolutely. That's what the arts do. And sometimes the arts go first and sometimes society moves first. But as soon as the Industrial Revolution began to take hold in Europe, suddenly we hear musical figurations which reflect the movement of mechanical things.
Is that right?
Composers thought, oh, this is so cool. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da non-industrial human life reflected
right.
in music.
And probably in some way or other, the sounds of nature, in the sense that you've got music
yes.
reflecting water and the sky and whatnot.
Yes. If you listen to Gregorian chant, you'd think of water or the sky, but you wouldn't think of a piston engine.
Thank goodness.
Yes.
We have some respite from the piston engine. So so we're talking about the program that's going to be happening on Christmas Eve. So the Beethoven Lenore Overture number 3 of the 4 possible Lenore Overtures, then the Sibelius Violin Concerto, and then Schumann, German composer, Symphony number 3.
Back to nature. The symphony is subtitled The Symphony About the Rhine River. And Schumann had just moved to a city where he had a music position, and he had a great view out of his back door of the Rhine. Suddenly the Rhine began to influence everything that he wrote. And this symphony isn't just about the Rhine, but in the second movement we hear a theme, which is the Rhine River flowing along in all of its majesty. So this is a symphony with 5 short movements. And the first one is a celebration of life. And then, as I say, the second one is a celebration of the Rhine River. The third one is a very intimate, emotional piece. Schumann, as you probably know, went crazy in the last years of his life. He was schizophrenic. You can hear in many of his larger pieces, like this symphony, the different sides of his personality. Sometimes these sides warred with each other. In this piece, they are, at least for the time being, they seem to be at peace with each other. And the fourth movement is a gigantic celebration of the Cathedral of Cologne. The Cathedral of Cologne was being built right at that time, and Schumann had witnessed the dedication of the new part of the building. So he wanted to create something very celebratory and solemn and glorious, and that's what the fourth movement of this is. And he chose to imitate Baroque music to do this, because to him that's what that music meant. And then the finale is a very joyful.
Whereas he was a classical composer who didn't normally compose in the Baroque style.
Classical with a small c, but he was a romantic composer.
Right, okay.
And Baroque would have been like 100 years earlier.
Right, right.
So the finale of the symphony is very happy, and it's the way that classically composers finish their works is always with joy, with triumph, with emergence into the sunlight. So
this is all good solstice music.
Good solstice music and Christmas solstice, all these seasons, whether we call them by their Christian or their pagan names, reflect that movement into the light.
And now Schumann was one of those composers who died fairly young.
Yeah, he was 46, and he spent the last years of his life in an insane asylum.
Incredible. I think it's so helpful to know, for example, for the listeners. I mean, do you put this in your programs when you do concerts for the Santa Fe Concert Association, that such and such a movement is about the Rhine and such a movement is about the Cologne Cathedral?
We do. James Keller, who is a fantastic annotator and writes program notes for the New York Philharmonic and the San Francisco Symphony, has very generously donated his program notes on these pieces to us, so they will be in our program book.
So that's what's happening on Christmas Eve. Where is the concert?
At the Lenzic Theater.
At the Lenzic Theater in downtown Santa Fe.
At 5 p.m. on Christmas Eve.
Oh, isn't that nice? 5 o'clock, yes. So people can actually go home and have a proper dinner.
The concert will end at 6:30. People can then go out and walk Farolitos and have Christmas Eve with their families.
Now, you've got a couple of other things coming up on the 27th and then again on New Year's Eve.
Yes. The 27th is a 7:30 p.m. concert at the Lenzic. Broadway star Maureen McGovern is coming to Santa Fe. And she has just released a new album called The Long Winding Road. These are songs of our generation. They are
the Poseidon Adventure?
No, not the Poseidon Adventure. Not what's the one that she did? Airplane?
Whatever it was.
Whatever it was, yeah. She's taken songs by Joni Mitchell and Carly Simon and Paul McCartney and Bob Dylan and John Lennon. And she sings all these songs as part of the Great American Songbook of the 60s and 70s.
And so that's what she'll be doing here in Santa Fe.
That's what she'll be doing in Santa Fe the night of the 27th of December.
And then on New Year's Eve, Rachmaninoff. How do you say it?
Rachmaninoff, just like you said it.
Piano concerto. Now here we have, again, a concerto where the piano is speaking to an orchestra.
This is one of the kings of all concertos, because the virtuosic demands on the soloist are gigantic. It's a concerto with big, sweeping, beautiful Russian melodies. It's a concerto that makes the most of the heroic aspect of the soloist as a struggle who emerges victorious. And so it's a wonderful piece for people who perhaps haven't been exposed to a lot of classical music but think they want to get their feet wet and hear something that will just sweep them away.
Now, this always brings up the question of how much do you have to understand about classical music to enjoy it and really let it get under your skin?
That's a great question, because some people hear it for the first time and immediately it speaks to them so deeply that they never turn around. And then other people hear it and think, what's all the fuss about? And then I think the third group, and probably the largest group of people, is people who over time hear classical music and it reveals itself to them gradually. Of course, to me, having been immersed deeply in classical music since I was a little child, classical music is one of the great creations of humanity. It reveals things that nothing else can reveal. It can take you deeper than anything else can. But I don't expect everybody on planet Earth to feel that way about it. I do, however, feel that I am an advocate for it and that I want to put great classical music out there for people so they can hear it live. Hearing it live is important.
Live music in general, whether it be salsa
anything
or classical or anything else,
yes.
It makes a huge difference in how you experience it.
The fact that you've chosen to leave your home and go somewhere where an event happens, whether it's a ritual or a concert or a ball game, is significant because your own involvement and investment has been increased.
And so we're talking to Joe Illick, director of the Santa Fe Concert Association, about the upcoming concerts, Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, and right in between on Saturday the 27th. And finally, Johann Strauss. Der Walzerkönig.
Yes, we're doing the Overture Die Fledermaus, which means the bat. And we're doing the Emperor Waltzes.
The bat as in Fledermaus, flying mouse, bat kind
yes,
of bat.
Yes, Fledermaus, flying mouse. The Flying Mouse is an opera about two Viennese men. One has played a trick on the other. They've gone to a costume ball. One dressed as a butterfly and one dressed as a bat. The one dressed as a butterfly leaves the one dressed as a bat drunk on a bench in front of the church. So Sunday morning when everybody comes to church, they find him dressed as a bat with no way to get home. A very Viennese thing to do, I might add. So
what, leave your friends drunk on park benches at
absolutely.
Night?
Absolutely. When we lived in Vienna.
As you were someone who lived in
We lived in Vienna, and we went to a friend's 30th birthday party. And for his 30th birthday, his best friend had carried, with the help of others, a 400-pound live pig up into his friend's bathtub on the fifth floor. So, of course, there was no way for him to get rid of it without involving the entire neighborhood, which they thought was great. Anyway, this is the spirit of fun.
Isn't that where Dr.
Pervades.
Freud came from?
Yes. Now you know why his patients needed all that help.
Exactly. So
the Viennese have a New Year's Eve concert. Every year, it's the tradition to try to get a ticket for this New Year's Eve concert. And it's Die Fledermaus at the Vienna State Opera, which is the geographic and cultural center of Vienna. Then the next day, the New Year's Day concert is Waltzes and Polkas by Johann Strauss. So that tradition is centuries old there. I thought it would be great to bring it to Santa Fe. So on New Year's Eve, we're going to have some of the most joyful music, celebratory music that there is.
And are you also hoping that people vie for tickets?
Fortunately, the Christmas Eve concert and the New Year's Eve concert sell out every year. So,
do they?
So it would be time to start buying for tickets if you want to go to either one of these. The New Year's Eve concert is also 5 p.m. at the Lenzic on New Year's Eve. And will also be ending at 6:30, so people can plan the rest of their party evenings.
Let's hear more about the Santa Fe Concert Association.
The Santa Fe Concert Association began in 1937. So for
is that right?
Yeah.
Good heavens.
All those years they've been bringing great performers from around the world. It started as an organization that was one of many in the United States that would present whatever Columbia artists in New York had on road tour. So the great soloists would get on the train and go to every port of call and do probably the same concert, you know, 50 times in a season. So gradually it morphed into an independent association that would bring in classical music, dance, and we've now branched out into Broadway and sometimes other things. This season alone, we're bringing 23 things to Santa Fe from four continents. So most of it is at the Lenzic, some things in other places. And if you get on our website, which is santafeconcerts.org, you can see what all these things are.
And how did you decide to get into the whole Broadway thing? That seems like a departure.
Broadway is American opera, and lots of people love it. I love it. I don't expect that Broadway and opera will ever be presented by the same company. Beverly Sills got close for a little while when she was running New York City Opera, but the requirements are different. Broadway's amplified, and the pit orchestra is very different.
Right.
So the fact is, though, music theater, telling a great story through music, is something that's appealed to people for hundreds of years. So we bring Broadway, and it's been extremely popular. People love it.
So you have been playing since you were a small child.
Five,
since
yes.
You were 5 years old. What do you play?
I'm principally a pianist. I'm also a conductor. I'll be conducting the concerts on Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. And I'm also a composer.
Now, the orchestras that you conduct, the Santa Fe Concert Association, do you have your own orchestra, or what is
it's
the nature of the orchestra?
It's a blend of the New Mexico Symphony Orchestra, the Santa Fe Symphony, and players who come from various parts of the country who play in big orchestras during the year but like to spend their holidays here.
And you are also a composer. Do we get to hear your own work at some point?
Yes. But not on Christmas Eve or on New Year's
no,
Eve.
No, but...
Sure, that will come down the road.
Really?
Yes.
In perhaps 2009?
I can't promise you that, but okay. I would love to work toward that.
Getting back to your own story, you grew up playing piano, and then what was your own sort of life trajectory in music?
By the time I was 5 or 6, I started writing pieces, and my parents could tell I was a musical kid. So they found me a piano teacher, and piano was my first instrument, and it's always been my primary instrument. In school, I played violin and clarinet as well, so I could be in the orchestra and the band. And growing up in San Francisco, I was in the San Francisco Boys Chorus. We sang in all the operas that had boys in them. So I was in Carmen, and I was in Otello, and I was in Falstaff. We hung out with the stars in their dressing rooms and learned all about opera and opera gossip and how to make the elevator at the San Francisco Opera not function so that the stars would get stuck in it. You know, we were kids. It was fun.
And did you really do that?
Of course. And only got in a small amount of trouble, considering.
Because you were children, and yes. Innocent, and sweet, and
well, nobody was that naive. Yeah. Right. So it was great. Hearing those operas made me love opera, and I still love opera. Opera is a great passion for me.
Does the Santa Fe Concert Association have any association with the opera here?
You know, we don't, and I hope that something may develop. I've been in this position for half of a year, so there are many collaborations still to be forged. My other main job is that I'm the main conductor and the music director of the Fort Worth Opera. And so I go between Santa Fe and Texas. And this fall we'll be moving here so that I'll be commuting the other direction. But for the last 6 years, I've been based in Texas because of that Fort Worth Opera job.
The Fort Worth Opera. Now, the Santa Fe Opera season is in the summer over a couple of months. What
yes.
about the Fort Worth Opera?
The Fort Worth Opera has moved to a format similar to that of the Santa Fe Opera, which is a festival format. In other words, we present four operas during a four-week period, and a visitor who is an opera lover can come in for a long weekend and actually see all of our productions in one long weekend.
So
or they can spread it out over time.
Right, right. Now, all these opera companies all over the United States presenting their operas, probably more of them in the summer than other times of year. Are you competing for opera singers? Oh, we want so-and-so. They're
the sure. We compete for opera singers, but actually our time period is between most of the summer festivals, which happen in July and August, and the end of the main opera companies' year-round seasons. So we have our pick of some of the best singers in the country at Fort Worth Opera. And our season this year is a month earlier than usual and will be end of April, beginning of May, because another thing that the same hall, Bass Hall, presents is the Van Cliburn Piano Competition, which is once every 4 years. In 2010, we'll go back to being second half of May, first half of June.
We're talking to Joe Illick of the Santa Fe Concert Association. So there's a real audience for opera in Fort Worth.
Yes, and because it's a festival and every year we do new and unusual works as well as favorite classics, we get a lot of opera travelers coming from out of state to Fort Worth. People from Santa Fe, in fact, have come
really?
To our opera festival in Fort Worth, yes.
Amazing. Now, how does American opera rate for European opera buffs? In other words, do people come from Italy to go to the Fort Worth
opera
or the Santa Fe Opera?
Opera buffs go everywhere. They travel to the Santa Fe Opera. They've even come to Fort Worth Opera. In the summer of 2007, when we did a world premiere of Tom Pasatieri's 20th opera, Frau Margot, people came from everywhere. So it's fascinating. Opera travelers tend to be very passionate about what they love. And they'll get on a plane and go to Italy or go to Germany or go to Santa Fe, go to Fort Worth, and hear something new.
So the Santa Fe Concert Association, you have, let's go back to the Christmas Eve program. You've got a guest violinist for the Sibelius.
Yes, Irina Murasanu is from Romania originally, but she teaches in New England and is a great violinist who will be here with us for that, performing the Sibelius Concerto. And then the Rachmaninoff Third Piano Concerto will be performed by a wonderful Greek pianist named Ioannis Potamousis. He has a teaching position in New Jersey, and he is coming in again just specially to perform this with us.
So all of this is happening at the Santa Fe Concert Association at the Lenzic on the 24th, the 27th, and the 31st of December, closing out the year, celebrating Christmas, Hanukkah, solstice, Kwanzaa.
And music.
And music and life itself and even atheism, ladies and gentlemen. You can celebrate it all. And you can go to santafeconcerts.org to find out more on the web. And what's the phone number? I guess 988-1234.
For the Lensic, it's 988-1234. And for our office, it's 984-8759.
Joe Illick, I want to thank you so much for being with us on the Santa Fe Radio
Thanks,
Cafe.
Thanks, Mary Charlotte. It's been
and
great.
We look forward to seeing you again in the new year.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break right now. Robert Knott is on deck. We will be right back. Please stay tuned. I'd like now to welcome Robert Knott. He is the associate editor of the Posse Tempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico, and he's humming dum de dum. Hi.
It's hello. A marshmallower.
This is our pre-Christmas show.
Yeah, I know. It's still wintry out there. I love it.
It is wintry.
And we're doing more snow Tuesday night.
Excellent.
The night before the Santa Claus is supposed to show up.
Well, that's good because it makes the sleigh better to run.
I know. I never bought that story my parents told me about. What happens when it doesn't snow? Well, Santa comes in a helicopter, because you would hear that. Like the sleigh, you wouldn't necessarily
hear. Not a
hear.
Santa Claus helicopter. That has a silent motor.
Oh, it
Duh.
Does? Oh, that's why they wrote Silent Night, huh?
Yeah, that's why they wrote Silent Night.
If you pick up the Pasa Tiempo today in the Santa Fe, New Mexico, you will find our annual results of the holiday writing contest, where we ask regular folks to supply stories, essays, and poetry, ranging from children to adults. And we have a number of great stories in there. It usually runs, I think, in the Sunday paper, but we decided this year to run it in the Pasa Tiempo. And I love some of the titles, like Santa, Too Big to Fail, and Quarantined for Christmas. I also like A Trap for Santa, because that's something I tried as a little kid to catch him. It always backfired. Like the mouse
what,
traps.
What, you stepped in it yourself
yeah,
and
like
got
the
your
mouse traps
bear
would be
claw.
On my fingers and stuff. That right. was all. And then there's some other good ones, like The Evil Tree That Almost Ruins Christmas and The Wacky Family's Christmas Party. These are great. I like these things. Also, Christmas in the Oil Patch and Winter's Dawn. I mean, it's great. So there's a lot of great stories in there. We decided to go with this route this year, and we hope you enjoy it. So there's less stories about arts events, which does not mean that there are not arts events happening. For example, let's say you got the kids around. You don't know quite what to do. You're down in the plaza. And starting tonight, there's going to be the city's tree lighting ceremony. I think that's because they were reconnoitering, renovating, and even, shall we say, reconstructing the plaza downtown. I got those verbs right, didn't I?
You've actually got a couple of verbs right.
That's
for a
good.
Change.
Well, don't get so indigenous about it. I'm working on it. So I think the whole
don't
area
get
is
so
looking good.
You ruined it all.
Anyway,
by saying don't get so indigenous.
Nonetheless, if you want to go down to the plaza tonight at
Which
5
Which is
o'clock,
a meaningless sentence or command. Go ahead. 5 o'clock tonight.
Command, that's a good verb for you. You can see the tree lighting ceremony.
Are you saying that I'm commanding? I have a commanding presence?
Well, you ought to bring some presents. After all, it's Christmas.
That's
I've been waiting
true.
For
Where's
presents.
Your Christmas present?
I don't know. Where is my Christmas
know.
Present?
I don't know what I did with it.
Anyway, so. So, the back to where I started 8 minutes ago. You can walk down to the plaza, and there's going to be the tree lighting ceremony. There's also going to be the winter solstice labyrinth walk. Now, do you know what a labyrinth is?
We had a discussion. Labyrinth.
Yeah, that.
Yes.
We had a
It's kind of like a maze.
Right. We had this conversation like 2 years ago, didn't we?
I think we have it every year.
Well, like we keep talking about the labyrinth, the difference between
labyrinth.
The
labyrinth.
That thing. Labyrinth. Yeah. My neighbor's got a labyrinth retriever.
Look,
I am
called
dog.
Conan the Grammarian for a reason.
Well, okay, anyway, one of those things where you wander around. You can do that 1 to 3 on Sunday at the Museum of International Folk Art on Museum Hill. And that's free. Also Sunday at 1 o'clock at St. Francis Auditorium, they're going to have in the New Mexico Museum of Art downtown, they're going to have these little skits with the hand-carved Gustav Bauman marionettes. These guys are adorable. There's like a little Santa Claus. There's a little donkey. His picture's in the Pasa Tiempo today on page 12.
That's great.
And
I'm serious.
I know, but you didn't sound too...
No, I mean, that's great.
There you go.
You're welcome.
I'm a sucker for donkeys. I think they're adorable.
You're a sucker for donkeys.
Hello, Robert. Yeah, I like Francis the Talking Mule. He was always my favorite actor in movies. Anyway, so that's free. 1 o'clock Sunday, St. Francis Auditorium. Take the kids. Go see the Gustav Bauman marionettes. Gustav's dead, but his marionettes keep walking and talking. Fortunately, they're not murderous, so don't be afraid. And then another free event is 7 o'clock on Monday at the Lenzic. The Santa Fe Concert Band, conducted by Greg Heltman, is going to play popular Christmas and Hanukkah music. And so you're going to hear everything from Berlioz to Berlin. Call the Lenzic box office, 988-1234, for information. Now, right before I came on the air, in case people just tuned in, because they said, oh, Robert Knott, that guy.
A lot of people tune in for you. And hot. I just want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that this show is on Monday through Friday. It's not just on Fridays from 8:30 to 9.
Oh, I see.
Some people think the show is just on Fridays because all they know about or care about is you.
There you
and
go.
That's a great thing to know and care about. But
being
the show is
again.
Actually on Monday through Friday.
Right. I show up on Fridays at 8:30. I allow you to let your hair down. And boy, do you do a good job of that.
Thank you.
Anyway, so before I popped in here, you had Joe Illick on. Let's just give him a plug.
Santa Fe Concert Association.
And they're going to be doing a gig on Wednesday night at 5 o'clock. So it's an early Christmas evening. It's fun. You take the kids. You go down at 5 o'clock, and you're still home before Santa Claus shows up.
What if you don't have kids? Can you still go?
Yes, you can always go. You can go alone or with somebody else. If you don't have anything else to do and you're sad, go down to the lens. I can hear some music. There's no need to be sad, even when things look bad. They're not as bad as you think, particularly when the people chasing you slip on ice and you've got an extra 2 minutes to duck around the corner. So that's Wednesday, December 24th. Call the Lensic 988-1234. You got to pay to get in. What do you know about Santa Fe Pro Musica's Baroque Christmas?
You tell us.
Well, I don't know. I'm always broke every Christmas, thanks to the run of presents I got to go out and buy for people. Starts tonight, runs through December 24th. There's a whole bunch of different Baroque Christmas concerts. I believe there's a total of 10, to tell you the truth, starting tonight at 8, winding their way through Christmas Eve. You got to pay to get in. Here's a phone number. 988-4640. They're going to play everything like from the Fairy Queen to the Four Seasons to Le Quatre Saisons, other stuff like that.
That's the Four Seasons.
It is?
Yeah.
Remember that song? Don't go away, I'm no good for you. I can't do the high Frankie. What's this guy that ran Frankie Valli? I can't go high. I mean, I'm always high, but high in life, but I can't do the high. But I love that song. Oh, Don, stay with him. He'll be good to you. What? I should do Dean Martin Does the Four Seasons. Wouldn't that be good?
What does Don and
Before
Frankie Valli have to do with anything?
That you love me. What do you mean? You just talked about they're going to sing the Four Seasons songs. We just talked about that, the Baroque Christmas. I said La Quatre Saisons. I actually pronounced it somewhat incomprehensibly, and you said the Four Seasons. So I assume that means they're going to do some Frankie Valli Christmas songs. Can you believe it?
No, it's very hard to believe. Great. That's great. Can you say more about that?
There's something lacking. I mean, your smile, everything about your personality right now, looking across the table, you're wrapped up in the brightness of the holiday season, but there's something about your voice that indicates to me some sort of premonition about what I'm saying, and I'm not sure exactly what you're, you know, egratiating about.
It's
anyway, take a look
at
the holiday writing.
It's a verb thing. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, come on, I've been doing this for 4 years with you. How could you not know what I'm talking about?
You're talking about the arts. Speaking of the arts, with Robert Knott. Robert Knott is telling us about what's going on Christmas.
I'm trying.
And we're
going to
be talking a week from today. We're going to have a pre-New Year's show.
Oh, that's right. We are. We're going to do a pre-New Year's show where we talk about what's happening New Year's Eve.
That's right.
Now, what are some of your favorite New Year's Eve and Christmas Eve memories? Be honest.
I have to say, and this sounds hopelessly hokey, my favorite Christmas Eve memories are being a little kid, being home with my parents.
That's
having
pretty good.
Having a nice dinner and having the Christmas tree lit up and my beautiful German mother's German decorations all over the house and all over the Christmas tree.
I bet. That's terrific.
And the dog coming in and when we're not looking, eating all the chocolate cookies off of the coffee table, but not eating the Christmas cookies that I made because they just weren't very good. You know what my dog did yesterday? He took the basket, the covered basket that the kibbles were in, knocked it over, knocked the kibbles all over the floor, and ate himself silly.
Which dog?
Milk.
This is amazing that you put up with this sort of antics.
I didn't know what to do. I was thinking I just shouldn't feed them.
You say bad dog, and you make them sit and look sad, and then they give you that look of like they become, all of a sudden they're Brando. They're like really good actors, and they're like, who, me? I'm adorable. And then you can't be mad at them anymore.
I know. That's what I did. But it doesn't do anything.
My dog tore up my whole finger this week. It's a mess. And it hurts. And, you know, right away he becomes this contrite little, you know, he goes from being, you know.
Well, maybe if you didn't dip it in liver juice and then put it in their mouth, they wouldn't chew it.
How'd you know I did that? So you don't have, like, any Christmas Eve memories of, like, just for the sake of argument, you and some girlfriends were out at a hot tub hanging out just, you know, without any suits on, anything like that?
No. I was a very tame individual before the age of 20.
Huh. You should have come over to my place when I was 18. That stuff happened to me all the time. There's some movies playing around town. You should go see the Anita O'Day biography over at the screen.
Is that good?
Yes. I've Loved You So Long is the picture getting great reviews. I haven't seen it with Kristen Scott Thomas at CCA. And the remake of The Day the Earth Stood Still, while I have not seen it, and our freelance movie reporter, Robert Benziger, didn't give it the best review. He wrote a very entertaining review in today's Pasta Tempo, so there are movies. You're probably wondering, are there art openings tonight? And the answer to that is absolutely, not to mention irrefutably. One of the things that's happening is that the Canyon Road Fine Art at 621 Canyon Road is doing a group show of paintings, reception 5 to 7. Cody Contemporary at 205 Canyon Road is doing Margaret Carday Sky Portraits, reception 5 to 7:30. Cruz Gallery at 616 Canyon is doing Dangerous to Wear, wow, group show of jewelry, reception 5 to 7:30. Over at the Dark Room on West San Mateo Lane, Suite O, as in O. They're having a holiday group show of photos, reception 5 to 7. That's probably good to go see. Salon Margraf at Big Tsuki Canyon, 9550471, is doing their third anniversary group show, reception 5 to 8. And here at the Santa Fe Baking Company at 504 West Cordova Road.
And can I just say Salon Margraf has really, really good food? Okay, I just said it. Go ahead.
You mean at receptions?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good to know. Here at the Santa Fe Baking Company, 504 West Cordova Road, they have photographs by Daniel Quat, Q-U-A-T, reception 5 to 7 through January. And I must say they are, at the very least, they catch your interest, whether they are dancers or vibrant, sensual women enjoying a jump in the air, or some close-ups of faces that look like the people involved are having a lot of fun. Anyway, finally... not finally, but next to finally, Untrained Boxcar Gallery is at Little Railroad Car over in the rail yard near Santa Fe Southern Railroad. They're doing Dream and Nightmare group show, reception 5 to 9. And Warehouse 21 has Santa Fe Graffiti Art Show with music by DJs Del Rare, Parish One, and Pablo 77. I guess everybody's got to stick a number on their name.
KSFR's own Pablo 77.
Pretty. What number would I have? Like Robert Knott, what number?
60.
60? What the?
17.
Wait, where are you coming up with these numbers? Give me a number that fits my personality. 60, 17. I would pick...
43 is a number that fits your personality, because I would say that you were in your prime in 1943.
Do you think I came from another era?
Yes.
And I've been reincarnated?
Yes.
I wonder who I was. Everybody was somebody famous, but I probably was just like the guy
I'm sure if there is reincarnation, which is not determined one way or the other, most people were not somebody famous.
But they always say they were when
they
meet them apart. Yes, they do. They say, I was Cleopatra, I was Napoleon.
No, they say I was a poor, pathetic monk who died young.
Well, that's the problem. People spend too much time focusing on the past. That's why we're in all the trouble we're in. They say the past... defines the future in terms of the fact that you're tied together by the present, which brings us back to Christmas. But if you're like living back in 1692 when you didn't even have a telephone to call for help when the barbarians were at the gate, I mean, what good does that do us today? I don't really want to hear that story. Now, if you were handmaiden to Cleopatra, as played by Claudette Colbert, and there was a huge royal tub. Let's just say there's a big tub. Cleopatra's time for her bath.
So tubs are the theme today.
And you got to help her get in the bath. I mean, that's a different... That's the story I want to hear at a party. I don't want to hear about, you know, Napoleon's Waterloo and you were the third guy on the right who got shot. So, anyway, I was probably in the 40s, you're saying.
Well...
I'll accept 43. Robert Knott, 43.
Robert Knott, 43. What would I be?
Putting me on the spot, are you?
Well, you just put me on the spot.
Yeah, but you're better at that stuff. Batting your eyes at me and that sort of come hither.
Oh, come on.
See? Come on, come hither. Same thing. You would be, let me see. Let me think this over so I have to buy myself a little bit of time. You would be, you'd have three numbers.
It's 847.
You know? I think you'd be a 999. Although, come to think of it, the figure eight fits you very nicely. More did I look you over there. Okay, Arsenic and Old Lace continuing at the Santa Fe Playhouse.
Yay!
988-4262.
We had Pal Dybel on the air the other day.
Yes, my recommendation, I seem to recall.
Yes, it was your recommendation.
The Golden Dragon Acrobats. These guys are great. They flip, they fly, they climb up 10 stairs. Nobody yells at them. They put the chairs on top of each other. No mom and dad saying, stop doing that in your room, Bobby. You know, they climb to the top, then they stand on one hand. I would never do that. Even drunk, I wouldn't do that. So they're doing their stuff over at the Lensic, 7 o'clock. I know we can't mention prices here, but can I say that if 12 and under gets a discount of some money?
Yes, you may.
And that I believe the Sunday matinee for kids, 12 and under, is like really, really cheap. So call 988-1234 to ask, because you can't mention prices on KSFR 101.1, your community-friendly radio station that brings you the best in talk shows, jazz, a la carte, Robert Knott, and, of course, Mary Charlotte Dash 8. Figure 8.
You
for
nut.
All the curves are dangerous, and the loops will just take it a whole nother dimension.
Ay, caramba.
Okay, what do you know about a Christmas offering?
Nothing.
Well, it's the Santa Fe Women's Ensemble. The nice thing about them is they're mostly female. And they're presenting Every Stone Shall Cry by Linda Rice Beck, music of Tomas Luis de Victoria, Palestina, and Christmas Carol, 7:30 p.m. tonight, First Presbyterian Church on Grant Avenue. That's a great old church downtown. 954-4922. Meanwhile, if you like stuff a cappella, which is usually how I like my pasta, A Merry New Mexico Christmas is being presented by the Desert Corral.
You don't mean al dente.
No, al dente is something to do with your teeth.
No, that has to do with the spaghetti.
What'd I say?
You said a cappella.
That's what?
A cappella means literally of the chapel, but it means singing without musical accompaniment.
Oh, that's what I do every week on the show.
Without instrumental accompaniment.
I do that
every sing
week.
A cappella.
So I'm a cappella. I'm not al dente.
Well, it remains to be seen whether you're al dente, but you're definitely a cappella.
I'm not al dente. My name's, I've been showing up on the show 4 years, Robert Knott. Now she thinks my name's al dente.
Al dente is a quality, not a name.
What kind of quality? Do I have it?
I don't know if you have it, but in terms of...
Wait a minute. What are you getting at here? How do you find out if I have it?
I don't even want to think about that.
Wait a minute. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with fantasizing. What are you talking about here?
What al dente means is literally in Italian of the tooth. So if you eat your, if you get a plate of pasta and it's really soft and mushy and it's been overcooked, then it's not al dente. But if it has just a little bit of texture to it, so it's not raw or hard inside, but it's just cooked past that,
okay,
but no
great.
More.
This is great.
Then
holiday
that's what al dente
I'm
means.
Something. You don't know if I'm al dente because al dente has depth and nuance and texture to it, and the other is soft and, you know, pasty faced. I know exactly where you're coming from. That's what I get for mentioning the a cappella show.
What'd I do?
A Merry New Mexico Christmas is a cappella, which is how I sing. 7 o'clock tonight, Cathedral Basilica de Santa Fe. I mean, part of de St. Francis downtown, Cathedral Place. You got to pay to get in. Call the Lenzic, 988-1234. What time is it?
It is 8:51.
Okay.
And on a completely different note, St. Elizabeth's Shelter is in need of toiletries, warm clothing, blankets, and all sorts of things. And a friend of mine called and asked if they would take bottles of shampoo, even if they were already open. And they said, yes, of course. And so basically anything that you want to bring down there that people can use, sweaters you haven't worn in a while, coats and so on, it's take it all down to St. Elizabeth's Shelter right here in Santa Fe.
Good. And as you know, a lot of nonprofits, both artistic and otherwise, could use some help this time of year, including, I'm sure, the Santa Fe Animal Shelter. The Food Depot, so think about that stuff. I know money's tight all around. It certainly is in my wallet. This sounds good. Saturday night, you and I should go see this. The 12 Gays of Christmas. It's a drag and cabaret show. I'm not joking.
Cool.
Silver Starlight Lounge, Rainbow Vision Santa Fe, 500 Rodeo Road, 8:30 p.m. Benefits the Santa Fe Rape Crisis and Trauma Treatment Center.
Excellent.
Last time I went out there to see a drag show, I was like the only straight guy in the audience. There's nothing worse.
Are you straight?
I get asked that a lot. Yes, I am straight. Is that okay? Am I allowed to be straight these days?
Damn straight.
You are adorable this morning. You're definitely trying to push some buttons here.
I'm not.
Totally succeeding. I know. I have that light air about me that people think all sorts of things, but let them think what they want. That's part of the charm of being
Let them think what they want. They're almost always wrong. I just heard some gossip about myself that was wrong.
Well, who
I'm not
going to
say
it?
What it was.
Was it me?
No.
Was it about me?
No.
Do you ever hear anything about you and me?
I do.
So do
That's
I.
wrong, too.
Silver Bell, she's looking awfully cute.
Hey, I
Silver
got a note from Barbara Mayfield, who will be reading the children's book The Polar Express on several of the Santa Fe Southern Railway holiday trains this year on, today and Saturday and Monday and Tuesday. The trains leave the station at 5:30. And she says, wear your pajamas, be read to, have hot chocolate, meet Santa, and sing. For more information, 989-8600.
Well, she's going to be reading on the train. She certainly won't lose her train of thought. Hey.
Excellent point.
Not bad. Now you just threw me off. See? What time is it?
It is 8:53. Oh, and I want to send a shout out to our friends at the Penn. There was a musical concert there that I went to and met a lot of gentlemen who were there listening to classical music, and it was a wonderful event.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That correlates with my plans to watch Women in Prison movies over the holidays. On Wednesday night, the Canyon Road Christmas Eve Walk, in case you're visiting, you never tuned in before, you're wondering what the show is about. What's it all about, Robert? You can start walking up the Canyon Road. You're going to see Farolitos. You're going to run into people. There's going to be Christmas carolers. There's going to be the Flaming Elves of Firefly Productions. There's going to be all sorts of stuff. It's free. You cannot drive. Don't bring your car. Remember, around 5 o'clock Wednesday, it's going to be tough to drive downtown anywhere, so try to hike it. So anyway, that's Christmas Eve, Canyon Road Christmas Eve Walk. You might see me out there.
And then this Saturday, tomorrow at 7:30 at Gig at 1808 2nd Street, the renowned story dancer Zuleika and the extraordinary vocalist Catherine Stately and guitar virtuoso Bruce Dunlap comprise a trio that is doing kind of a solstice celebration. So that's at 7:30 tomorrow night at Gig.
Meanwhile, I got to plug Madrid, 26th Annual Madrid Christmas Open House this weekend, last weekend, 10 to 5. Stagecoach rides, community Christmas tree, Santa Claus shows up, galleries are open. It's all lit up. It's one of the most famous lit up towns in America. Most of the people I meet from there are usually lit. Anyway, 10 to 5, 26th Annual Madrid Christmas Open House, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Visit MadridNM.com.
MadridNM.com.
And at the Engine House Theater, just so you know, the Solstice Burlesque Show is going on, 7 o'clock Saturday.
Yeah, we had Sleem on talking about that.
Yeah, the Sleem is trying to do a good job of renovating that theater and
turning
it into something.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's it. There's a lot of other stuff. Pick up the Pasa Tiempo. Look at all sorts of things.
And then on tomorrow from 4 to 7 at Inn of the Turquoise Bear, a holiday gathering and benefit for communities of the Altiplano of Peru, featuring the exhibition and sale of achachis, traditional Peruvian folk textile art. And that's all at 342 Buena Vista Street and Old Santa Fe Trail. And for more information, 690-2594.
The world is a snowball. See how it rolls. That's how it rolls, as everyone knows. The world is a snowball. It's yours for a song. So get out, girl, and roll it along. It's a yum, yummy world made for lovers. Take a walk with your favorite girl. It's a swinging date. I hope spring is late, because in Christmas it's a marshmallow world. You have a good holiday season, girl.
You too. We've got another minute left, and I want to make people aware of Tewa Women United Holiday Open House, and that is today from 11 to 7 at Tewa Women United Main Office in Española at 912 Fairview Lane, 747-3259. They do wonderful work out there.
If anybody from my volleyball team is listening, it's getting really annoying when the women don't show up and we have to forfeit games. I mean, I don't know, maybe they don't like me on the team, but this is twice I've shown up. Last night I showed up for a game, and you need two women to play. It's co-ed. There's no point in playing if it's not co-ed. The why it has to be co-ed on the court, and then by the time you get to the locker rooms, it's no longer co-ed, is beyond me. But anyway, so are you sure you never had a Christmas Eve of, like, hot tub or skinny dipping?
I never did that. I didn't even know what a hot tub was until I moved to Santa Fe.
Huh, how about that?
Did you? I think I'm supposed to ask you. Tell us about your memories of hot tubs and skinny dipping on Christmas Eve.
As everyone knows, the world is a snowball. You have a great holiday, girl.
What, you're not telling me about your...
It's just for a song. We only got 30 seconds left, and you have to introduce the next show.
No.
So get out.
We have way more than that.
She's stretching. It's a... yum, yummy world made for lovers. So take a walk with your favorite girl. It's a swinging date. I hope spring is late. In winter, it's a marshmallow world. In winter, it's a marshmallow world. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you too, Robert Knott.
I'll see you next week for the New Year's Eve show.
Yes.
Let's show up sober this time.
Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Uh-huh.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Barry Charlotte. KSFR streams live on the web at KSFR.org. You can reach me at radiocafe at KSFR.org or leave a message at 428-1528. We are podcasting at the website SantaFeRadioCafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's Dotfoil Computer Services. And you can subscribe to the show on iTunes.
I have a prescription.
Thanks to Marilyn LeBlanc for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team. And after that, Jazz a la Carta, broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company. My name is Mary Charlotte. Robert Knott is the associate editor of the Pasatiempo Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexican, and he's with us just about every Friday. Speaking of the arts, I think I just made a world record in that little speech.
That's pretty good. You were moving along there. You should take your time now. You got to learn how to slow down. That's what this stuff's all about.
Oh, you got to learn how to slow down.
Yeah, that's the problem. Women are always going too fast. They don't want to just take the time.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you got to work your way up to every sort of extenuation. For example, it's like a baseball game. You're not going to always hit a home run. You got to take your time and get to first base. Then you get to first base and you see if you want to steal second.
That's sort not of like the dreaded baseball metaphor.
And then you get to third base.
I'm shocked.
Which is a
shocked,
slide.
I tell you.
And then maybe, just maybe, you get to hit a home run. Now, the problem is sometimes you foul out, sometimes you strike out, and sometimes you don't even get the bat in your hands. But that's another story for another day. We'll talk about that on Valentine's Day. I'll see you New Year's Eve.
Have a wonderful Christmas, Robert.
I will do my best.
And we'll see you in
Don't say in the hot tub. That would be naughty.
I wasn't about to say that.
I know
you
what
put
you're
the
up
thought
to.
No, in your own
it.
Head,
the
not
I
even in
down
my
here
head.
Today, there was all this sensuality being aimed at me. Figure eight. How dare you?
You're the one who said that too.
To the chow thing.
You're 43 or Robert not 43.
43, not bad. That's younger than my real age too.
We've just got a few seconds left, so what I'd like to say to you is, hasta la vista.
You say that every week.
Ciao.
Oh, that's good. I